This is the Sunday Spin on 720 WGN. Once again, here's Rick Pearson of the Chicago Tribune.
Good Sunday morning. Welcome to the second hour of your Sunday Spin. I'm Rick Pearson of the Chicago Tribune. Joined here in the Allstate Showcase Studio and Tribune Tower on North Michigan Avenue on this sunny Sunday by Representative Carol Sente from Vernon Hills.
Morning,
Representative,
Rick.
Thank you so much for joining me here in the studio this morning.
Always nice to be here.
In the festive studio.
Oh, yes.
Oh, yes. Yeah, the folks at the Tree Time, they always do a fantastic job.
It's fabulous.
And it helps put me in the... I'm sad I'm not there yet, but it's getting me there. And working in these surroundings does wonders.
Well, you have up till we hit December
yeah,
to get ready.
We're almost there.
Yes, we are.
We're almost there.
Yes, we are.
Well, I wanted to have you in. One thing was, we've talked on the news about this yesterday, was Small Business Saturday, which I think is actually a great idea. I know, you know, we think of American Express, which was, you know, founded, and we think of these manufactured kind of holidays, but truly, you know, as a corporation or whatever, it's such a great idea to invest in small business. You're a small business woman.
I am.
And you've had a small business advisory council in your legislative district. And, you know, we talk about citizen legislators and anymore, since the legislature mainly is nonstop anymore, that we tend to lose that kind of citizen legislator. That goes back to really what the whole idea was of having
right.
a legislature made up of individuals of varied backgrounds and varied interests that could kind of bring that kind of diversity into the game. So I know you've always kind of had been attuned, even as a Democrat, to the interests of small business.
Yeah.
And so you've got legislation, which technically hasn't been sent to the governor's desk, but it's passed the
right.
legislature.
Mm-hmm.
That's kind of an assist to small businesses. Why don't you tell us about that?
Yeah, I am a citizen legislator, and I've been down there through that purpose the whole time. The LLC bill was a goal of ours to reduce the fees. It is probably one of the most common ways of organizing a small business these days, and the fee is abnormally high compared to if you incorporate, even within the state, a partnership, other fees that we have, and compared to any of the states in the country, frankly, we are the highest. So it's a signal, it's a message to small business, and we needed to reduce it. So what this bill did is it reduced all the fees across the board. The two biggest ones would be when you start, which is was a $500 fee. So when this bill is signed, it will go down to $150. But then every year you file an annual report, and that was $250, and it'll go down to $75. But there are smaller fees that go along with this, and each one of them was reduced. So this has been a long process. The small business community has been watching this, and we're hoping to get it signed before the end of the year.
Why did the fees start out so high?
You know, I'm not sure why they did. I have a guess. I think that, you know, the state of Illinois is always looking for more money. And my guess is because it was the newest, most popular, someone said, let's figure out what a fee is and maybe set it a little bit higher because that'll bring in some money. What it's really doing is it's
a disincentive.
Yeah, it is.
And of course, you know, small business, sometimes it's almost like what I would term lip service about education is my number one priority. Small business is the backbone of the Illinois economy. It's the job creator. But it really is true when it comes to small business that is what helps really drive this economy. It's not the major corporations and all of that, because the bulk of the jobs are through small business.
Absolutely. You look at the statistics. Small businesses are creating the jobs. They're employing people. It's the bulk of the new businesses that are being started every day. And people can choose to start in another state. Not everything is, you know, location specific. So we're losing that money.
Well, and you're from Vernon Hills, so you're not that far from the Wisconsin border.
Exactly.
And we all know about some of the migration that's occurred from Lake County across the other side.
Yeah, I hate to see that. need to stop that.
What took so long to get this done?
So I've been working on this issue for 3 years. So have some of my other peers. Senator Cullerton passed it with me in the Senate. Representative Dave McSweeney, David Harris, they had similar bills. I think really the big pushback was we are reducing fees, and at the time when we started, we didn't have a budget. And so to say we're taking more money away from the state when we don't have that money, I think that was some of the pushback that I felt, like, why couldn't we get it all the way through? As I would present it to my peers for them to get on as a sponsor, everyone's like, on both sides of the aisle, thought, this is a great idea, you know, sign me on. You can see the list of co-sponsors is very long, yet it couldn't get all the way through both chambers and then signed. And I think that was really the reason.
Because it would seem to me, in this struggle that we've had, the ideological struggle that we've had in the budget battles, that part of it is what Governor Rauner has seen as his pro-business agenda and, mm-hmm. and the goals he wants to achieve with them against things like unions and collective bargaining and things that strike at the heart of Democrats. But then there's something like this that would seem to fall in line with a goal of, most small businesses aren't necessarily unionized,
right.
that it's, if you start business, if you encourage business startup and development and growth, that achieves the idea of, as the governor said, you know, we have to grow our way out of this. Now, I think everybody would agree that that's an element of trying to fix this state.
Yeah.
But that this would be almost literally a no-brainer, and then it still takes 3 years to pass.
What can I say? Except that I think sometimes people look at, we don't have the money. We have a budget problem, so we're going to bring less money to the state.
So how much revenue was the higher fees bringing in? I mean,
I say you have to spend money to make money. It's the business adage, right? You have to send a message to small business. We want you here in Illinois, and the business climate has to change for small companies, for big companies, that they feel welcome here. That doesn't mean we have to get rid of all regulations and just have a free for all, but we have to send a message that we care about growing business here and that it's a good climate to come to Illinois.
Well, and these filings are regulations,
yep.
But they're not regulations as much as they're fees.
Right. I mean, yes, it's just a fee on how you're organizing your business, so there's some insurance-type protections.
So, and we believe that the governor is going to sign this.
Yes. Usually when I work on bills like this, I always, you know, check how's the pulse of the current governor, because we've had two during the time I've been working on this bill. And Governor Rauner and his office and the lieutenant governor seem very anxious to get this bill passed. And so I don't anticipate, I think they're eager to sign it as well.
So we should expect mm-hmm. to see this. And
I'm hoping by the end of the year.
Immediate effective date, or
it does.
So we'll be starting the year when these LLCs are going to be doing their annual reports and things like that.
I get some emails from people and they're like, I'm waiting. I'm about to do my renewal. Is it coming soon? And I said, I hope so.
You can't help it. They're business people, right?
Yeah, they care.
We're speaking with Representative Carol Sente, Democrat from Vernon Hills. I'm Rick Pearson. This is the Sunday Spin. Good Sunday morning. Welcome back to the Sunday Spin. 312-981-7200 is your phone number. I'm speaking to Democratic State Representative Carol Sente, who is the author of legislation expected to be signed shortly by the governor that would reduce fees for small businesses. We just had Small Business Saturday. And Representative, I ran across this cut because, you know, obviously we're talking Black Friday and we've got Cyber Monday coming up and all this kind of, let's spur the economy, it's Christmas time. I came across this cut from WNDU-TV, the NBC affiliate in South Bend, Indiana, where they had sent a reporter out to a local mall for the opening of the Black Friday stores. And, well, it didn't go so well.
Joshua Short is inside UP Mall, where the doors will be opening in just under an hour from now. Josh, how are things going?
Well, you know what, Alex? I thought I was going to be inside, and apparently I'm stuck outside because security reasons and all that other rigmarole. Look, look behind me. You see the long lines of people out here at 5:45 or so. We were expecting a big crowd. We don't have the big crowd that we expected. I got up at 3 o'clock excited to do my first ever Black Friday, and ain't nobody here. I am literally upset right now. I don't know why people did not wake up. They had too much food. I don't know what the deal is. You got cars coming through, but they're stuck right now in their cars. Nobody's coming out. Yeah, they open their doors at 6 o'clock, but I'm really upset right now. We don't have anybody out here. We got another news crew that I'm not going to name. She's out here. So at the moment, I'm going to send it back to y'all because ain't nobody here. I'm going back home. I'm going back to my bed, and I'm going to sleep. Alex, we send it back to you in South Bend.
Oh, Josh, I feel bad for you. David says that you're on the wrong side of the mall. So maybe that's what it is. You just got to go to the other side of the mall, and that's where the line is.
You know what? I'll go to the other side of the mall, and I'm going to see another line of cars, and nobody's going to be getting out of those cars because it's almost 30 degrees. You know what? I'm just...
Oh, Josh is gone. We lost Josh. All right. Joshua Short reporting live at the a little bit of a disappointing start to Black Friday. But don't worry, Josh. We'll come back to you, and I'm sure there will be some people there for you.
So that was the Black Friday opening at the mall in South Bend. I can't help laughing about it. Although I have to tell you, as a reporter, I can't say I'd be excited to be out trying to cover a Black Friday sale. I would actually kind of welcome the fact that nobody was there.
Exactly.
Representative, one thing I wanted to ask you about is the fact that this is your last term. Mm-hmm. You're not going to be in line tomorrow morning at the State Board of Elections at 8 a.m. to have your candidacy petitions filed. And we've seen a number of people leaving the General Assembly. And there's no doubt that, in my mind, that the budget stalemate just became a hurdle that people just are tired of it. And yeah, we do have a budget, but it's an act of the legislature, not the governor. And it's not what they signed up for. Is that, tell me about your situation.
Everyone has different reasons for leaving. As we mentioned at the beginning of the show, I'm a citizen legislator, so I always thought that there would be a set period of time, and I'm in that time range, so I was thinking 8 to 12 years. In that 8 to 12 years, I'm one of the people who has been in a competitive district. In a competitive district, I've had one primary and 4 general elections, 5 elections in 8 years. It's exhausting. That alone, you're losing, you know, for 5 months of every other year, you're knocking doors and that's all you're doing. So that's hard. We don't stop campaigning anymore after the elections are over and get into legislating. So that's tough. I think there's less of an atmosphere down there for moderates. I feel like sometimes people expect me to apologize that I compromise for a bill that includes something my side doesn't want in an effort for the greater whole. That's against who I am, not to compromise, you know? And so that's kind of tough. It's been exhausting to go through and watch even in, it's been tough. The toughest is the last few years and watching, the polarization just increase down there. And so I thought, you know what? It's time for someone else.
Well, and it doesn't show any signs of abating, and the fact of how money has become such a principal driver in these campaigns, and you're in a district that is a competitive district, and the fact that there's pressures, I'm sure, on both sides, that some would say, well, you're not liberal enough.
Oh, yes.
And then, of course, the Republicans calling you a liberal. And when you mentioned about compromise, it comes to mind the idea of the school funding formula legislation as a prime example of that, because of to make it happen. Also included the private school scholarship tax exemption. And, you know, we're hearing from even Democratic governor candidates that as soon as they get in, that that's wiped out. They're going to eliminate it. And it just, you know, whatever I personally might feel about it, the bottom line is, you know, that's how you get, that's how laws become laws. You don't get the whole loaf. And it's the desire to get the whole loaf and that desire for purity, and that doesn't necessarily create good legislation, or doesn't even get to legislation. It never gets that far.
I think that's what we're missing. That's what's dropping out. And with that education funding bill, how I explained it, because people are like, well, what do you think about it? Why did you sell out? Why did you compromise? I said I had a bigger problem that there wasn't a funding source for that. For that piece that the governor added in at the last moment. And while I don't particularly like the tax credit for the private school voucher, whatever you want to label it, again, it's a compromise. And what we did with the education funding reform piece is revolutionary. And being at the bottom in the country and how much we fund education, I was thrilled to have that piece in. People lose sight of the fact that with this budget, there was compromise. There's a lot of things that you could say it wasn't perfect. It didn't. It was a little short. It was this. It was that. But the budget and the reforms that we accomplished this year, and I know earlier in the year I was here with Steve Anderson, we talked about our group. When people lose focus on is it's under our budget was under the amount that the governor set for the revenue ceiling in his budget address. It was under the tax increase amount that he had also suggested he wanted. It includes significant cuts. And this year we got four of the reforms that he wanted as part of the budget accomplished. Some pretty significant reforms. In addition, during the spring session, we got two extra ones not tied to the budget done. So six in total. And we never focus on that. We always focus on what didn't happen and the partisanship. But a lot did get done.
And you know, as you mentioned, you were here with Steve Anderson, who at that time was the House Republican floor leader. And even on that show said, primary, bring it on. Mm-hmm. Lost his floor leader title.
Yep.
And now he's not seeking reelection either. And again, it's that middle that, frankly, that's where most Illinoisans are. And it's the middle is no longer really being represented.
And most Illinoisans say that they're in the middle, and I hope we still have that, but we're not hearing from them. Legislators aren't hearing from them.
But you never hear from them, though.
Maybe we didn't.
I mean, I tend to think, though, you never hear from the middle. It's always the extreme.
The fringes, yeah.
And that, unfortunately, is on both sides. You know, that's the squeaky wheels. And they get the noise, and it's the middle has to deal with whatever comes out of the government that produces.
Well, I hope with all the legislators that are leaving that we can do some good work in our final year, because we're going to struggle getting a budget this coming session as well.
Do you think there's going to be a budget?
I hope so. That's why I am going to stay down there and make sure that to everything in my ability that we can get a budget, because that will be very important. And going into an election year, I think we're going to see it's going to be difficult, very challenging.
I have to say I appreciate your optimism, even as you depart the scene. I'm not as optimistic. I just have to think with the political stakes that are at hand that once again it's going to be the politics that overshadows the substantive actions in this.
I don't disagree with you, but I feel like we've seen a path to move through that, and it wasn't the traditional path, as Steve and I were talking about when we were down here and all the others that were engaged with us, is us working together behind the scenes and saying we can't let this happen, and those people are all still there.
Well, and we'll see if a bottom-up driven initiative can occur.
Mm-hmm. I hope so.
Carol Sente, Democratic State Representative from Vernon Hills. Thank you so much for joining me this morning.
Thank you, Rick. Always nice to see you. Happy holidays.
And to you.